Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I'd like to welcome you to my Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. My humble apologies for all of you who are announcing yourself that I was not able to give you the welcome you deserve, but I will give it to you jointly. Welcome, 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 everyone, to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. This call is officially being recorded and will be available for playback tomorrow at 12 Pacific, that's 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific time. So if you're on the call or you want to pass this call on, it will be available on download podcast, Podomatic, and you will have access to this call. We have over 1,000 people download the call each and every week, so definitely we have a reach. I have some first-class entrepreneurs, speakers, mindset coaches, neurologist, and exceptional people booked for my call in 2015. In the very near future, Dr. Joe Dispenza, March 17th. March 24th, Alexis Romano. Second Tuesday of April, C.G. Siddons. Jennifer Corliss Trinkner is scheduled to be a guest on my call earlier this spring. Mr. Brad Mossman, early in the summer. Summer has a nice ring to it. And a whole host of exceptional entrepreneurial, inspirational mindset coaches, success coaches, speakers, writers, authors, and first-class human beings. So you're in the right place at the right time. I will cover a few quick announcements. And we'll move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have an exceptional call lined up for you, a call that is not a normal topic that I cover. So if you are on tonight's call and you are on the East Coast, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. That is Saturday, March 14th. That's this Saturday. Weather permitting, and it's going to be a fabulous weekend this weekend. March 28th, I will be in Weehawken, New Jersey. March 21st, Denver, Colorado. Now, Denver, Colorado will be with Crystal Lowry. Weehawken, New Jersey on the 28th, that will be a standing room only event. If you have not purchased a ticket, I have a small room. It does not seat 1,000 people. It packs out at about 350. Alexis unequivocally will fill that room. C.G. Siddons will be attending that event and speaking as well. April 4th, Los Angeles, California. I will be with Crystal Lowry and Tara Romano. That will be an exceptional event. Also, Brittany Cara. And the love doctor, Adam Scheck, will also be speaking at that event. April 18th, I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Beautiful Fort Lauderdale, right on the ocean at the Hilton with Alexis Romano. April 25th, my very first event in Houston with Carlotta. Yes, Carlotta the Crusher Davis. And I will be doing an event in Houston, Texas, May 2nd, Long Island, New York, May 9th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, May 30th, my first ever event in South Portland, Maine. Now, those are just a few of the places where you can catch the Jeffrey Combs Roadshow, 155,000 air miles on average for the last 16-plus years, doing what I do, inspiring people. Now, if you are serious about taking yourself and your enterprise to the next level, and you've ever considered hiring me to be your coach, mentor, or someone who can give you great inspiration and insight into cause and effect, why you do what you do, how to let go of your emotional addictions that keep you sabotaging, procrastinating. If you want to enhance your ability to connect with people, articulate your feelings into word, brand yourself, become a 6- and/or a 7-figure income earner, contact me ASAP for insight. If you are serious about hiring me, I no longer offer free 15-minute coaching calls. I just do not have the time. I'm typically booked for 12 to 14 hours a day. I have a 12 to 14 week waiting list, and I will continue to raise my rates because I'm raising my value. So if you want to get a hold of me, here's one easy way, 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. I do not have operators standing by that will directly reach me. and that is the 30-second commute from my bedroom to my boardroom. That's where you can find me at 989 Oxford Way in beautiful Stockton, California, where it is warm year-round, 365 days, baby. Here we are. So suiting up and showing up. And we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now, tonight's call is very unique. I've never used this topic before. It is not a topic I pulled out of my hat. It is a topic that is very meaningful, and tonight's topic is meaningful conversation. Contrary to popular belief, I do not recruit everyone. I'm very selective on who I seek to have as a coaching client, someone in my circle of influence, someone I seek to have in any of my multiple ventures. I am looking for people who are serious, not curious. However, I'm also a people person, and I have meaningful conversations wherever I go. And if you can learn to practice the art of communication, conversation, persuasion, and you're able to really take that skill to the next level, then your lead box will begin to eventually fill up. People will come to you because they see you're a person of influence and affluence, and they know that you are the attractor factor because you have the ability to connect with people. Meaningful conversation, what does it really mean? It means you have a love of people. You enjoy communicating, connecting. You enjoy being in a circle of influence. You enjoy being in a restaurant, at a basketball game. You're someone who likes to be warm with people. But if you're isolated, if you're procrastinating, if you're overwhelmed, if you're emotionally addicted, if you have stories that you tell yourself about how you're not good enough, then you'll have challenges having meaningful conversation. Every time you converse with someone, it could be a meaningful conversation. Perfect case in point, I was in one of my favorite cities in the United States this past weekend, St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up in the Midwest, relatively close to Omaha, Nebraska, about 2 hours from Kansas City, and my father, grandfather, grandfather's grandfather were absolutely St. Louis Cardinal fans. I grew up listening to Jack Buck, Harry Carey. I went to Old Sportsman's Park in 1965, Busch Stadium in 67, 1 year after it opened. I've been to St. Louis many times in my life. I had the privilege of doing a one-day event in St. Louis, and I was fascinated to see the way the city had changed since I'd been there last in 1985. I had one of my clients, Emily Britt, and another one of my clients, Ricky Tischler, spent time with both of them the afternoon on Friday, and I got to go on a little tour of St. Louis, and I had meaningful conversation with one of my hosts. I found out all kinds of great points of interest about St. Louis, had the privilege of dining in two of St. Louis' finest restaurants, Dominic's and Tony's, and in both establishments, I spent quality time with the owner, Dominic, and I spent quality time with the maitre d' in Tony's, a gentleman who had worked in that establishment for 40 years. I found out lots of facts, benefits, features about that establishment, history of it. I found out a lot about each individual man I had the privilege of connecting and collaborating with. We also, through 6 degrees of separation, knew multiple people from a city 4 hours away, Kansas City and St. Louis. And that's what can happen when you are a connector. When you are connected with yourself instead of being disconnected, when you are good enough, when you are lovable, when you are capable, when you let go of the story that says, I haven't, so I can't. This product hasn't worked for me, so I can't ask anyone about this. I haven't made any money. I've been a struggler. I'm not where I should be. When you continue to perpetuate a set of circumstances that keep you overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined, then you will have challenges ever succeeding in free enterprise. Meaningful conversation does not mean you're always prospecting. ABC, always be connecting. ABC, always be closing. That has purpose, but you also have to be open enough, warm enough, capable enough to have meaningful conversation. What does it mean? It means when you're in an airplane, you can connect with someone. You're not sitting there trying to think, you're trying to think, how am I going to prospect this person? How am I going to back in, reverse, upside down, get them into my enterprise? You're not a getter, G-E-T-T-E-R, become a connector, become a person of influence, a person of persuasion, a great listener, a great asker of questions, and you will begin to own the world. Doors will open up for you. But if you are struggling, if you are trying, if you can't seem to find any great people, if you're looking for that rock star, that superstar, that shooting star, then you let go of the control and pressure you put on yourself. When you are under a lot of pressure, it's a myth, it's an illusion, and it's a set of circumstances that are not really happening. Pressure is the left brain's way of putting you in a position to fail when you put yourself in that kind of situation. There is no money pressure. You're not under any, you're not under the spotlight. And when someone asks you a question, they're not putting the light on you. They ask you a question. But when you check out, get overwhelmed, go into fight or flight, lose your composure, and have gaps and delay in your communication style, then you will have challenges connecting. Now, let me give you a few reasons why many people have challenges in the art of communicating. Many of us, many of you grew up in dysfunctional homes. Many of you had alcoholic parents, siblings, people in your circle of influence. Many of you grew up with passive-aggressive and or aggressive people in your circle of influence. Some of you came from broken homes, situations you've been violated, abused, and neglected. And when you grow up in your circle of influence with someone who puts you in a position that you have to validate, justify, explain yourself, or you live in a place where you say, I had to walk on eggshells, I walked on pins and needles, or any multitude of statements that put your body in an instant state of fight or flight, then you will be concerned about getting in trouble. And when getting in trouble becomes your identity, it creates a gap and a delay in your communication style. This is typically what creates the and the sounds that you use to check out. And when you check out, it takes about 3 to 8 seconds for you to formulate the words on the back of your tongue, which on your tongue you have 7 spots. They're called glottals and diphthongs. Those are how you enunciate the words. When you're comfortable with yourself, you will have tone and inflection in your voice. You will have resonance in your voice. You will communicate with power because you come from power. It's not a physical power. It's not a linear power. It's emotional, etheric energy. It's white light. It's sexual energy. That's not sexuality, but sexual energy. It comes from your abdomen, your core, your groin. That kind of power is where your real voice is. That is your diaphragm. When you're able to communicate and connect from there, then you're not checked out, your shoulders aren't scrunched, your head's down, not in your neck, you're not overwhelmed, and you're not consumed with making mistakes. But when you're consumed with making mistakes, you'll put more energy into failing than you ever would put energy into the skills. It's the skills of communicating that allows you to have meaningful conversation. And when you learn how to effectively communicate, then you can ask questions. You can actually perform an exceptional interview without anyone ever feel like they're being interrogated, interviewed, taken advantage of, prospect, seduced, or any multitude of situations that you, when you send that mixed message. When you're in anxiety, poverty, scarcity, lead poverty, overwhelmed, haven't closed a sale since the late 70s, or any multitude of lies that you perpetuate to stay uncomfortable, then you will continue to create the same situation over and over to fulfill a biochemical craving that you've become emotionally connected to. And when you are connected to not being good enough, overwhelmed, and you don't have self-esteem, then you end up telegraphing a mixed message. That's why you don't get the table of choice. This is why the parking space is not available for you in front. This is why you wait 2 hours. This is why people say they're going to call you back and they never call you back because of the mixed message you perpetuate. You must learn to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being disappointed. When you begin to let go of that anxiety, then you can enunciate, you can clearly define your communication, you can ask the questions in a sequence. But when you continue to come from how do I, and you don't understand why you do, once you start to understand why you do, then you can have a why. But when you continue to get overwhelmed and stay emotionally addicted to not succeeding, then you will not attract the type of prosperity partners, business partners, friends, F-R-I-E-N-D-S. You want to have friends who are in your corner, not friends who are threatened by you, friends who say things about you. When you live in a scarcity, poverty, overwhelmed, addicted emotional state, you will attract people and situations to fulfill those feelings. When you let go of the control that keeps you in control, then you can start to articulate your words to yourself. This is why it's important. Some of the most important words you say to yourself is, I am good enough. I am lovable. Those are some of the most important words that you're able to communicate into your unconscious conscious. But if you continue to live in doubt, the space between fear and faith, then it will show up in your communication style and you will have gaps and delay in your sentence structure. I am very fortunate. Number one, I was born with a very good voice, and I began to enhance it by going to a radio and television school in a particular college in the Midwest. I received a Bachelor of Science degree at Northwest Missouri State University. Early in my career, I became an on-air personality on radio, television, interviews. I was a DJ. I learned how to enunciate. I learned how to talk from my diaphragm. I got an FCC license. I learned how to be an on-air personality. I learned how to cut spec tapes. I learned how to write sales copy. I learned how to write commercials. All of this between 20 and 22 years old in about a 3-year period. And the more I started to understand how to effectively communicate, it became a great advantage to me as I was waiting tables. Now, this is one of my early experiences. It was also an advantage to me when I started to do telemarketing sales for a company called Time Life Books. It also assisted me to become an exceptional listener. I could hear what was meant, not what was said. I could hear what was going on between the lines. I learned how to trust my intuition, my extrasensory perception, and I learned to let go of doubt. Although I was human, went through a series of addictions myself, hit rock bottom, I bounced back relatively quickly because the pain was great enough. And I went back to some of the skills that I learned. Now, you don't have to go to college. You don't have to have an FCC license to get good, but you do have to practice repetition and experience. You can have meaningful conversation with your children. You can have meaningful conversation with your spouse. You can practice every single day when you're in life. You can do it with your employees, your employers, with people you meet at gas stations. You can do this without trying to get people, without trying to prospect people. When you let go of that kind of pressure you put on yourself, then you end up sending a clear message. When you start to have this clearly defined short-term goals, you can articulate your goals. When someone asks you why you're in business, when someone asks you what you're seeking from being an entrepreneur, you should be able to respond very quickly. But when you go, freedom, well, freedom doesn't mean anything until freedom is broken down, until it's clearly articulated. And when you start to have, when you become meaningful, when you have meaning, when you know what you mean, then you will not speak in riddles, you will not speak in doubt, you will be able to convey a very clear message about who you are, both telepathically, emotionally, and through the spoken and written word. But when you sit down to write and you go, I'm not good at writing, then you'll never be able to do this, compose. When you can compose, create on demand, then you don't have to think about what to say, what to do, what to write. When you start to let go of that kind of control and you let go of that kind of pain, then you can focus on a different outcome. When you're concerned about the outcome that you will receive because of your scarcity, your lack, your overwhelm, your emotional addictions, and you're so concerned with failing and getting in trouble, then you will start to let go. When you start to let go of that kind of energy, your energy changes, your E-N-E-R-G-Y. That kind of energy that I'm speaking about, the attractor factor, the type of energy that attracts collaborators and prosperity partners, that kind of energy comes from being in a state called love, joy, bliss, enlightenment, spirituality. When you come from that space, you send a different message. People start to follow you. They want to be part of what you're doing. They follow you on Facebook, social media, LinkedIn. When you're able to create that kind of message, that kind of following, when you're able to create value and service, and you're able to create content, you're able to do videos that attract people, when you're able to write simple sales copy, and you're able to create meaning in your conversation, it changes what you attract. When you come from that place, power, love, and joy, it sends a different message. Rather than being a mixed message, the mixed message that most people send, they have one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat, and then they live in a place called doubt. When you let go of your doubt, when you let go of being overwhelmed, it creates a whole different meaning. So where does it all begin? It begins with simplicity, by asking people one of the most important questions you can ask someone, their name. You can also ask someone how they're doing, how they're going, how's your day going, any multitude of situations that's called small talk. Small talk is how you open a conversation. When you see me speak at some of the next venues, you'll see I'm going to spend time on this very topic, meaningful conversation. You never know where a conversation is going to lead, especially when you get good at it. Because when you start to find people's pain, problems, reasons they want to change, their dissatisfaction, health challenges, issues that trouble them, worry them, keep them overwhelmed, and you're an ambassador of change, you're solution-oriented, you're someone who can provide a result, you have a great listening ear, you're someone who's very talented at asking questions, you're very skilled at hearing what's meant, not said, you're able to trust your intuition, you learn how to use persuasion skills and tactics that leads to meaningful conversation, then your whole game changes. Leads and people begin to show up effortlessly. I'll spell it effortlessly. But when you struggle, you're a heartaholic, a noble struggler. You're one of these people that just barely gets by. You're someone who spends a lot of your time being overwhelmed, procrastinating, getting ready to get ready because everything has to be perfect and you avoid failing, then you will have challenges attracting the prosperity partners, the soulmates, the genuine friends that you seek to have in life that will give you meaning. But when you continue to live in a story that serves you to stay addicted and disappointed, and that's your payoff, every addict gets a payoff. I ask people many times, what's your payoff by procrastinating? What's your payoff by being overwhelmed? What's your payoff by staying emotionally and physically addicted to food, alcohol, or any of the multitude of situations that people perpetuate to have low self-esteem and be disappointed? There is a payoff. You do it because you get some benefit. It may not be a benefit that you seek, but it's a benefit that is familiar. When you begin to let go of that which is familiar, you let go of your anxiety and your scarcity about what someone else is going to think or say, then you can learn to have meaningful conversation. Here's how you do it. You have meaningful conversation by being genuinely interested in people, not for a gain or a benefit, because you're interested. When you can have meaningful conversation, when you can ask simple questions, what's your name? How long have you worked here? Is this a good career for you? And when you can ask those kinds of questions, what's one of the most unique people you've ever met in this restaurant? When you can have that kind of meaningful conversation, could you recommend a dish to me? When you can have meaningful conversation, you can ask simple questions. Did you go to college? What have you done for other careers? When you can ask those kinds of questions. When you can find commonalities with people. When you can find animal lovers, you can find out their favorite dog. How many dogs have you owned? What was your favorite dog? You ever owned a horse? What's your favorite animal? I mean, when you can come from that situation. When you can find common points of interest, then you could connect. Perfect case in point, in St. Louis, Missouri, last Friday night, I asked the owner if he knew one of my former employees, a gentleman named Victor Fontana. Here was his response. Oh, yeah, I knew Vic. Vic was a remarkable man. He owned a restaurant in Kansas City called Walter Mitty's. Now, that restaurant he owned before my time, but I knew he owned that, so I picked up on that. And I let this gentleman know that I worked for Victor Fontana for 4 years. He proceeded to tell me a lot about Victor Fontana, what a great man he was. I started asking him questions. When did he establish his restaurant? How long had he been in business? He let me know that he was an immigrant, came to the United States in 1971. He started out working in another restaurant. He told me that restaurant. He told me a whole set of history that was fascinating. When you realize how fascinating people are, you can provoke them to be fascinating. But when you have a story going on in your head about what you don't got, what you don't have, who's not giving you the love, who's not giving you the money, who's not giving you the respect, what you're not getting, how bad your leads are, how difficult it is to create leads, and you can't create meaningful conversation. You must learn to be creative and innovative. Stop asking how questions. Start asking yourself why. Why aren't I creative? Why aren't I inventive? Get out of your head. If you live in your left brain and you check out frequently, then you will check out in the middle of conversations. Let go of your analytical, egoic mind. Stop studying every freaking thing. Stop focusing on so much details. Stop going to so many seminars and never putting the practical application into use. Seminars, rallies, conventions, workshops, podcasts, downloads, getting mentored, modeling yourself after other people, they are great. But don't be a seminar junkie and a self-help specialist. Become a person of influence and affluence. When you go to events, meet people. It's the meetings after the people. Become fascinated in people, interested in people, genuine about people. Become authentic. Become real. Become connectable. Become persuasive. Become a person of influence. Become a person of affluence. Come from warmth, spirituality. Come from a place because you care. Come from that place rather than scarcity, poverty, lack, overwhelmed, addicted. Let go of being a victim. Stop creating chaos. Don't go to events and create drama. Go to events and create connections. The meetings after the meetings are the most valuable experiences you will receive. Any of those of you who have ever been to Breakthroughs to Success, it brings up a warm feeling to most of you. But Breakthroughs to Success, I do a couple of situations that really enhance the experience. On Thursday night, I have a cocktail party. That's where the event really begins. Because typically at that event, people have a story about what's going to happen that typically never happens. Oh, my God, what's going to happen? I'm going to cry. I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to sit in that love seat I've heard about. Oh, my God, I'm going to sit over here in the corner. And typically what happens when you're in that kind of mindset, then you miss the connections. You miss connecting with people. When you're guarded, when you're reserved, when you're quiet, when you're shy. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be boisterous. That doesn't mean you have to be gregarious. Just learn to be yourself. Be a human being. Have genuine interest in people. So that's where the connecting begins. Then the event itself starts the very next day. On Friday night, I ran an entire restaurant specifically for my group that comes to each and every individual Breakthroughs to Success. The last couple of events, I've rented a restaurant called Mezzo, M-E-Z-Z-O. Yes, that is an Italian restaurant. And it just so happens that my former personal chef named Buddy is the chef of that restaurant. We get treated like royalty at that event. It is an absolute pleasure to dine there, and it enhances the entire event because after a day at an event, we connect. Connecting is a big component in building a team, a community, a tribe, a company, and all of it. You have to be able to connect with people. It's the reality of being real, the dynamics of connecting. The psychology of winning is the psychology of connecting. When you start to really care about the people who that care about themselves, you have to understand in a large circle of influence, in a population, in a team, in a culture, not everyone will succeed. Many people will sit in the back of the bus. They'll sit in the nosebleed seats. They'll find reasons why they can't, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, and will be unable to engage. But when you're engageable, when you understand the rules of engagement, and you start to be the person of influence that you deserve to be, you're in the process of becoming. And yesterday is history, and you don't focus on what didn't happen yesterday. You put great energy into being your best today. You let go of being the best and comparing yourself to other people, and you put relaxed focus into being you, you know, the person that you really deserve to be. When you come from love, when you come from peace, that is what power is. Power is non-physical. Power is not your will. Power is not, by God, I'm going to do it if it kills me. Power is a relaxed state where you're being yourself. You come from an energetic vibration that says, I am good enough, I am lovable, I'm connectable. I care about being able to connect with you, provided you're open to that experience. And if someone's not open to that experience in the rules of engagement, don't take that disengagement personally, because that disengagement typically is not about you. You have to understand that a large percent of the population is not interested, is not really committed, is not decisive, is not engageable, is tiptoeing quietly through life, checked out, with gaps and delays in their own communication style. They're not really serious about changing the quality of their life, and they're not engageable. And when you engage someone who's not engageable, they're not rejecting you. They're typically not available. They're typically not interested. Once you learn to let go of that control that keeps you disappointed, then you won't be in control of trying to make everything perfect. When you let go, when you surrender, when you let go of your will to be right, your will to be perfect, your will not to make mistakes, your will not to fail, then you can engage. When you're relaxed, when you're a problem solver, not a problem creator. If you're a problem creator, then you will create dust, chaos, and drama. But when you're a problem resolver, then you can resolve your own problems because you live in the solution quickly. When you bounce back quickly, when your breakdowns are mini, M-I-N-I, not manny, M-A-N-Y, when you don't have manny breakdowns, when your breakdowns are mini, it means your bounce back, your resilience, your ability to come back are very quick. When you're able to do that because you communicate with yourself, the most meaningful conversation you will ever have is with you today, because today is the only time you have to communicate with yourself. You can't communicate with yourself yesterday. You can communicate with yourself about yesterday, but yesterday is history. And you can't predict tomorrow. You may have your goals all laid out. You may have your goal sheet, but tomorrow hasn't happened. So when tomorrow happens, you must be ready to adjust and adapt to a situation that avails itself. And when you have meaningful conversation with yourself, you can talk yourself into a result rather than talk yourself out of it. When you're engageable, then other people want to engage with you. When you're able to smile and exhibit warmth, and you're able to exude energy that says, I'm capable, I'm lovable, I'm open to a conversation, I can assist you, I'm someone who can assist you with your problems, you can assist me. When you come from that space, that's when your conversations become meaningful. But when you project your agenda, when you're frowning, when you're not sending the proper energy, when you're consumed with making mistakes, you can't have a meaningful conversation because you're trying to outguess yourself. If you're someone who has to outguess the prospect or the person you're communicating with because you got to say the right thing, you got to have a snappy rebuttal, you're projecting all of this noise that hasn't happened, you cannot have meaningful conversation. One of the most meaningful conversations I had in 2014, I sat in first class in a window seat next to a gentleman who sat in the aisle seat from Buffalo to Chicago. His name was Brian. Brian played in the National Football League. He went to one of the smallest NAIA schools in America that fielded a football team, Augustana in South Dakota. He grew up in a small town called Miller, South Dakota. His college only had 800 students. His town that he came from only had 2,000 people. He was a second-round draft choice of the New York Giants. He was a second-round draft choice of the Jacksonville Jaguars in 1999. He played 5 years for the great Tom Coughlin. And Brian was a devout Christian. He was one of those passionate Christians I have ever met. He was able to recite scripture, verses. He was very impressive how passionate he was. And he had no interest really in me. He was very interested in just sharing with me his passion. I asked him a lot of questions about the National Football League. I was able to get his phone number when he got off the airplane, had a great conversation with him. I've never spoken to him again. I didn't feel like I needed to prospect him. I just had an innate feeling that for whatever, that was what was the extent of that situation. But he was one of the most exceptional human beings I met in 2014. But I wasn't sitting there thinking, wow, I got to get this guy as a coaching client. I got to get him to tell me how I can get to the NFL. Can I get Tom Coughlin's number? I wasn't in that kind of agenda. With the natural order of life, when you're able to live in the natural order of life, a lot of doors open up to you because you're not trying to pressure yourself into a situation that does not avail itself. When you let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed and disappointed, When you let go of processing, thinking, checking out, when you let go of having to know all the knowledge, the problem with people that are in their head, a lot of you that are in your head, you alienate the people who aren't in your head. And those of us who don't live in our head talk about those who you're in your head, and we go, oh, my God. We're not talking about you personally. We're talking about your potential that you will never reach because you keep processing, analyzing, thinking, having to know all the right answer. Let me give you a hint, cousin. This is not corporate America. You don't have to know all the facts and figures. You don't have to know all the details. The detail you require knowing is you're good enough. When you can come from that, you can figure out the rest. When you start to become innovative and creative, when you let go of all the facts, documentation, and dumb things you think you have to know, then you will be able to have a meaningful conversation that says this: I am exhausted. I am letting go of the control that keeps me exhausted. I no longer have to live in a cubicle. I don't have to travel in a company car. I don't have to call on doctors and hospitals. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to focus on making mistakes. I am now in free enterprise. But when you get so overwhelmed about the possibility, oh, my God, how am I going to control it? Where am my money going to come from? That won't happen either. That's a meaningful conversation called self-talk. You must talk to yourself. You must let go. You must focus on today. When you let go of the control that keeps you in control, then you can be creative, then you can be innovative, then you can be spontaneous, then you can be connectable, then you will have a better understanding of why people do what they do. When you let go of the causes that creates the effect, when you have a better understanding of mind-body connections, when you have a better understanding of the origin of words and that words have meaning and words are law and words do not return void, when you become aware of the words you use that limit you, when you let go of the words that aren't committed and decisive, when you start to write better sales copy, communicate better with yourself, when you learn to ask questions in a sequence, when you let go of being perfect, when you're able to just relax and let go, your energy changes. You begin to attract a different type of situation, people, and experience to your life. Your synergistic events begin to happen quicker. Instead of luck, you get good. I would much rather be good than I would lucky, although luck is when opportunity meets preparation. I'm not going to wait around in luck. Master the skills of communication. Practice asking questions every single day until asking becomes autonomic, automatic. It becomes an art form. When you become a highly skilled listener and you begin to hear in your inner ear, you'll master the inner game. But when you're checked out, you can't hear what's meant. You only hear what's said. When you're so consumed with your agenda, then you probably will never get around to finding out someone else's problems, someone else's experiences. When you let go of your unresolved anger, when you let go of being pissed off, overwhelmed, checked out, when you let go of your resentment, when you let go of your unresolved anger, then you will become a person of influence. If you wear your anger on your sleeve, if you grind your teeth, if you furrow your brow, if you're hostile, then on the other end of it, if you're so weak and you're so meek, you can't be heard. If you're so consumed with serving and giving, if you give your power away, then you will typically have no power. You have to learn to live in the inner game of life, where very few people have the courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion, and a quality that's highly marketable. When you live in that kind of relaxed courage, when you stop saying, oh my God, I could fail, I could go out of business. When you let go of your security, which is really your insecurity, when you let go of your pretty little pet, the golden handcuffs, when you take those invisible handcuffs off and hang them up and say, no moss, no more, I no longer require you, when you say, I'm so done with this, when you can let go of that anxiety about what might happen in the future, and those of you who know I'm talking about you, I'm talking right to you. Those of you who live in that insecure, secure, got to have a check every 2 weeks, when you live in that space, when you're nodding your head right now, then you can start to communicate with yourself differently. Many of you focus on safety instead of focusing on prosperity. When you play it safe, have to know all the answers, when you have to know the outcome before you start, you can't go off the cliff without a net. You got to go off the cliff and find a way down, and the only way to find down is to step off. Now, I'm not suggesting you quit your job Monday, but I am suggesting you learn real quickly that the golden handcuffs will never get you to the land of promise. You must let go of your insecurities, your anxieties that keep you communicating in a fashion that keeps you overwhelmed. When you continue to worry about what other people think about you, when you continue to get overwhelmed about the possibility of succeeding, or the possibility of failing, then you can't have the meaningful conversations that keep you inspired. You must be able to talk yourself into your success rather than talking yourself out of your failure. But if you spend a lot of your time talking yourself out of failing, you'll never learn the skills to succeed. I mean, it's like they don't fit. You just can't. That oil and water does not make a dressing. It just does not work. What makes a great dressing are great olive oils and great balsamic vinegars. That's how you create a great vinaigrette. You don't create a vinaigrette with oil and water. They don't mix. They repel each other. They don't blend. You can't shake it together and get a product. They split. And that's typically what happens when you live in doubt. You're split. Your foot's on the boat and your foot's on the dock, and you never really get anywhere because you have too much anxiety because you can't see land. Well, you can't see land when you look out at the horizon point. You have to look at the horizon point, the vanishing point. It's way out there in the distance. But don't focus in the distance. Focus here and focus N-O-W. Learn the skills to communicate. There's three ways you ask a question: small talk, fact-finding, and rapport building. And you can intersperse all three styles and types of questions. Create your own communication style. Become very clear in your word choices. Speak clearly, speak effectively, enunciate your words, use inflection in your words. Start to pay attention to how you check out. Watch the words you say. Start to use words that are commitment and decisive. Let go of the indecisive, non-committed words. Let go of words like try, need, hope, giving it a shot. If I had to say, just, do I just have to call leads? The word just breaks down to justify. And when you have to justify doing an action, it means you hesitate before you start. Let go of knowing all the answers. When your cause and why are big enough, the facts don't matter. But when you dwell on the facts, when you spend a lot of time being checked out, when you have long conversations with people that require shorter conversations, when you do all the talking, when you have to be the man, the woman, when you are the issue, when you spew diatribe, when you throw up on people, when you astral vomit on people, if you're one of these people that as a child you didn't get to be heard, so you spent the rest of your life TTM, talking too much, let go of the control that keeps you alienating people. You can't attract the kind of people you require spiritually to build a tribe, to build a culture, to have friends with by you dominating the conversation. If you're a dominator, that means you're a controller. If you have to be in control of the control that keeps you out of control and disappointed, it's a very lonely life you'll live. But when you're an ambassador of change, an agent of change, when you're no longer a noble struggler, when you're a person of influence, affluence, and you know how to persuade people, when you know how to create win-win communication, when you're someone who really cares, you also care enough about yourself to let go of certain people who don't care about you, when you understand how to carefront people, confront people, when you learn how to let go, and most importantly, you surrender. There's two forms of surrender. You can surrender where you give up, or you can surrender your will and your ego. When you let go of your ego that does not serve you, when you let go of your control, that's what you're really letting go of, that surrender. When you're surrendering control, and you start to develop a command of your communication style, when you begin to communicate with yourself effectively, when you're able to talk yourself into changing rather than talk yourself out of it, when you can talk yourself out of the edge of relapse, when you can let go of your addicted emotional state that keeps you on pharmaceutical medication, stuffing your feelings with words, with food, stuffing your feelings with compulsive spending. If you're a compulsive debtor, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a procrastinator, if you're a career under-earner, underachiever, all you end up is disappointed. Disappointment will not give you to the land of promise. Disappointment gets you to the land of regret. And if the greatest pain you could possibly die is the pain of regret, you don't want to look over your shoulder and say, wished I would have. Be here, be now. That is where time is. time is right now. The way you effectively lead a conversation is find a common point of interest. You do that by asking a series of questions. How are you today? How long have you worked at this establishment? Is this a good career for you? I mean, you have common points of interest, and it's simple. You can get in an elevator and have a conversation with anyone. You step into an elevator, you go, how are you doing today? Were you here for a convention? I mean, it's simple. You ask a few simple questions. I couldn't help but notice your bag. You're from Florida. What part of Florida do you live in? Hey, great. The person steps off the elevator. All you got to be able to say is have a great day. Practice this skill. But if your mindset and you've been conditioned by parents through the 20,000 meals with the wrong financial planner, grandparents, people in your circle of influence, if you're conditioned to be quiet, not be nosy, don't ask questions, don't pry in other people's affairs, if you're concerned you're going to offend someone, say the wrong thing, get in trouble, make a mistake, get judged, get rejected, get abandoned, if you come from that kind of energy, if that's going on telepathically, if that's in an unconscious, non-conscious situation, if you are telegraphing that, then the person you step in the elevator automatically looks down on the floor. You're not able to create eye contact because you're checked out. You already have an agenda that you're going to fail. You already have a story going on that talks you out of a window of opportunity that's very short. The person gets off the elevator, and you missed an opportunity. Opportunities are never lost. They're seized by the few who are ready. Have you ever seen an attractive man, an attractive woman, some of you felt an automatic connection to, and your right brain said, go over and introduce yourself, and your left brain said, are you freaking kidding me, dude? You'll trip over your shoelaces before you get there. You'll break a heel walking over there. Your lipstick's screwed up. You've got a nose hair hanging out, any multitude of situations, excuses you make not to make the connection. Then the person leaves, or even worse, someone else walks over, introduces himself, and the couple walk off, and you're left standing there by yourself. And if that's you, change, because if that's you and it happens frequently, this is what you typically do to justify your disappointment. This is what you typically do to talk yourself out of an opportunity. Practice small talk. Small talk is just random conversation. It's a GOFC, a good old-fashioned chat. Start to create common points of interest. Ask people questions that are small talk that can eventually lead to more meaningful connections. When you can engage, when you're engageable, when you can ask simple questions like that, the doors will start to open up for you. Also, pick up on the telegraphs and the clues that other people send you. When someone isn't engageable and they don't give you any eye contact, they continue to look down, don't pursue and persist and try and move forward with someone that's not available. Get out of the conversation relatively quickly. Do not feel rejected. Do not feel abandoned. When someone gives you a smile, that's an unconscious opportunity for you to connect. When someone's frowning and you go, how you doing, and they don't respond back, once again, do not take it personal. I have the privilege of flying every single weekend. Many of the gate agents are overwhelmed, aren't connectable, aren't engageable. I'll ask them questions. Most of them don't give me any eye contact. Here's a common question I ask and get a common answer. What time are we boarding? 30 minutes before the flight. It's just this automatic situation. It doesn't even matter if the flight's late. They'll say 30 minutes before the flight. That's how they're conditioned. I seldom ever get any eye contact from gate agents. I typically do my best to call a captain. So if I see a captain getting on the plane, I go, how you doing, captain? If I get an opportunity to connect with someone, how long have you flown with the airlines, captain? How long have you been a pilot? If I ever see a pilot that I've flown with before, I go, I've flown with you before, just to see what happens. I occasionally get a steward or stewardess that I've met before, and I'll mention it. And these are just certain places. I dine out frequently in some of the same restaurants. I ask for people's stations. I ask for specific waiters. The hostesses at many restaurants know me. I give side tips. That's to ensure promptness. It's amazing how doors open when you know how to grease the wheels. I remember people's names. Pay attention to people's names. Ask some common points of interest questions. Remember where they're from. Remember common points of interest about every single person you possibly can. Start to expand your memory. But when you say, oh, my God, how am I ever going to do it? You won't. When you talk yourself out of an opportunity before you start, then you get to be right while a few people go out and become rich. And if you're exhausted being right, then learn the skills and the skills of engagement. When you start to create a memory file, it means you start to file certain situations about people. I had a woman contact me today on Facebook. She said, I want to work with you. I typed back. I said, does that mean you want to coach with me? That was a question mark. If so, send me your phone number and I will call you. She typed back, yes, I do, with her phone number. I called her immediately, had a meaningful conversation with her, and set up a next appointment with her. That's when you learn to do this, that's what happens. When you have meaningful conversation, when you have purpose in what you're doing, the purpose is to connect, the purpose is to engage, then you can take purpose to the next level. Now, when you have a lead that's contacted you or you're contacting a lead, that's a different kind of meaningful conversation. A meaningful conversation is not a black and white situation. When you go out, you can prospect when you go out. I mean, because you can have the meaningful conversations that can lead to that connection. When you're not consumed with your agenda, then a whole different level of ease starts to avail itself. But when you put pressure on yourself because what you have to do, what you need to do, how desperate you are, when you come from desperation in communication, you end up telegraphing your scarcity and your poverty consciousness. When you come from lead poverty, typically the few leads that you converse with can feel you. They can feel your desperation. When you let go of that anxiety, once again, gives you a different opportunity to trial close, test the water, see if there's a communication that can be acquired, see if there's a communication and a win-win situation and a connection can be formed, and you're able to come from that place where there is no pressure, there is no rejection, there is no abandonment. When you're able to come from that place, then you can create more win-win conversations. When you're able to come from that place, that's called power. When you're disempowered, out of your power, overwhelmed and checked out, that's how you be and stay disappointed. To become a master influence, you start to have conversation with purpose on purpose. It means you know who you are, you know what you're doing, and you become very skilled at it. Now, when you start to take meaningful conversation to the next level, when you start to do this with your LinkedIn contacts, your Facebook contacts, the leads that you attract, the leads you create, the qualified leads that show up in your circle of influence, then you can have a different kind of meaningful conversation. This is when you can small talk, fact find, and rapport build in a very condensed conversation style. Now, when you master that style, then in 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 minutes, you can find out a lot about a person. You have to let go of your anxiety about getting in trouble, making mistakes, getting rejected, offending someone, and all the noise and stories that you typically create to avoid the perceived pain that is not real. The pain that you create that is not real becomes your excuse, your story to stay average. When you let go of perceived pain that has not happened, now you can move into a place called pleasure. When you can create pleasure from passion and pleasure from meaningful conversations, when you can have conversations that you feel a win-win, when you feel a transfer of energy, then there's a possibility you'll end up having an exchange of phone numbers or an exchange of email addresses. That becomes the natural order of business and free enterprise when you're a person of influence and affluence. When you become very skilled at it, you can receive someone's telephone number with ease because you expect it. But when you have anxiety about asking someone for their phone number, you never get around to it because you might fail, might make a mistake, might get overwhelmed, might get judged. Once again, when you let go of that noise, when you let go of being perfect, when you stop talking about all the benefits and features, when you learn how to sell the dream, paint the picture, ask the questions in a sequence, then a whole different set of circumstances begin to avail themselves to you. When you become skilled at that kind of style, when you have relatives that try and control you and you learn how to have meaningful conversations, conversations, you can neutralize that kind of energy relatively quickly. When someone tries to put you in a position that you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself, and you know how to use a U-turn or turn that equation around, when you know how to turn an answer into a question so you're not the one who's on the hot seat that doesn't exist, when you understand inherently when someone's trying to put you in a position that you have to explain and you don't feel guilty or controlled where you have to do that, when you learn to let go of your guilt and your shame that you don't have to explain, justify yourself, the more you let go of energy and anxiety that does not serve you, the more emotional, etheric, energetic power you can create through the meaningful conversations that you have. If there's something that you want to have happen, use warmth to have it. Don't go into a situation from anger, go from peace or love. When someone's trying to control you, don't get into an argument with them, because then you end up having a good old-fashioned argument, typically, where two fools lose. Learn to let someone be right so you can go on and be prosperous. Learn to let someone be right so you can stay in an energetic vibration that's conducive to creating win-win and meaningful conversations. When someone wants to control you or is angry at you, don't get seduced by it. Don't get sucked into it. Don't get into someone else's drama and chaos. Learn not to have to prove your point to people. Proving your point oftentimes is pointless, means there's no point to the process of doing it. The more you learn how to have meaningful conversations specifically with yourself, the self-talk you have, the more self-awareness you have, the higher the level of consciousness that you will create. When you start to become clear on why you do what you do, when you start to ask yourself questions about what happened in your past, when you let go of statements like, my whole childhood is a blur, I don't know what happened to me. You do know, you were there. When you stop being ashamed and guilty of what happened, then you can be clearly defined about what happened, then you can be clearly defined in your communication style. Some of the most impressive communication I've watched since mid-December are those of you who are in a group called Guilt Cleanse. I've watched many of you begin to tell your story in a clearly defined fashion that allows you to let go. The value of being able to share in a group like that is you start to articulate your feelings. Once you're able to articulate your feelings and share your story and write your story, now you can rewrite that story. When you change the way you perceive your story, now you can write the story of your life because you're going to live that story. You should have a 30-second story about your life, a 30-second story about a product experience, a 30-second story about being in free enterprise, a 30-second story about overcoming an addiction, a 30-second story that inspires people. When you can start to bring that kind of content to the world, then you have become a master influencer, a master asker, a person who's become an ascended master, someone who has influence, affluence, connectability, affability, someone that people want to be around. When that is you, then you have a quality called charisma, meaning you can walk into any room in the world and you can bring a different set of energy than you used to bring when you were overwhelmed, intoxicated, and addicted. When you start to let go of the control that has kept you in control, then you can have conversation when there's no gap and a delay in your communication. When you let go of the pauses and the and-ums and you stop checking out in conversation, when you start listening, you actually hear what's meant, not said. When you don't have an agenda, when you're not concerned about making a mistake and understanding, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say when they say this? When you start to respond effortlessly, then you will let go of the reactions that kept you out of control. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you're serious and not curious about taking yourself and your game to the next level, and you deserve to have a coach who can assist you to let go of your control that keeps you in control, and you're tired of being tired and you're overwhelmed and sick of being in this state, call me at 209-932-0227. If you're someone who desires to be inspired, influenced, and you want to become a master asker, you can also give me a call for the same reason, because you deserve it. When you let go of what you think you need and you start to come from deserve, that's a whole different power. When you let go of being an addicted giver and you start to realize that you must also become a gifted receiver, when you start to learn that receiving is a skill and you become a master receiver, It's going to be because you become a master asker. Master asking is 5 to 15 words into the question mark. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm going to ask you, what did you receive from this content tonight? Have a great evening, everyone. I look forward to connecting with you in Danbury or Norwalk, Connecticut, this Saturday. There's information specifically what hotel, what time that event is this Saturday. That would be March 14th from 9 to 4. Going to look forward to connecting with each and every one of you. I'll see you at many of the events around the country. It's going to be an absolutely breakthrough year for all of you on tonight's call. Have a great evening, everyone.